scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, it left corner to Aginla. Aginla, the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Yell. Aginla, rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
All right, what's going on? It feels like the first day of school. We are underway. It is Thursday, September 19th. Welcome to Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Steinberg and Aaron Vickers of NHL.com in our Groundworks downtown studio. Yeah, day one of training camp, Vicks. Always feels like that first day of school. Everybody's back. Everybody's back to the routine. You need to get right back into it ASAP. It felt, and it right around the same time, you know, always fall either meant the beginning of school or the beginning of training camp. And day one of training camp is in the books. Win sport on Thursday and Friday before they're able to get back into the Scotiabank Saddle Dome on Saturday. Preseason starts Sunday in Seattle. What's up, buddy?
You think it was first day of school vibes? I understand what you're saying, but I look forward to the first day of camp. I don't recall a time I ever look forward to the first day of school coming back up.
I just has that feel.
I understand the premise.
Not just, from a emotional standpoint, just from a... I didn't know we were getting emotions to bring into this.
Hey, that's Flames Talk, baby.
It was good to see everybody back. It was good to see all of our fellow idiots. And
I was going to go colleagues, but fair enough.
I like to be... I'm not excluding myself.
No, you said fellow.
Fellow idiots.
So not only that, you also called me an idiot to my face, but I digress.
Am I wrong?
Nope.
Am I wrong?
Nope.
We're going to hear from a number of Flames players this hour. Day one of training camp. That's what people want to hear. Guys are back. Expectations don't matter. Everybody's on an even playing field. It's all about competition and camp battles and line combinations and all that type of stuff. So we will hear from plenty of names, plenty of members of the Flames as this afternoon goes along. First, some notes before we get into that. A few line combos maybe we were expecting ended up coming to fruition. I don't think anybody was surprised to see Martin Pospisil centering Jonathan Huberdeau and Anthony Mantha, as that is something that was kind of suggested.
Not kind of. Very
definitely suggested by head coach Ryan Huska over the weekend with us. Same thing with Connor Zeri on the left side with Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman. We saw those two forward lines. We saw Yegor Sharangovich and Andre Kuzmenko flanking Nazem Kadri as a line. A couple of highly skilled wingers for Naz. Thought that was interesting. On the back, Uyghur Miromanov. Don't think anybody's surprised to see them starting camp together. Bean Anderson. Don't think anybody was surprised to see those two together. One other note that is important to point out is that no Kevin Ball to start training camp. Lower body injury. He's day-to-day, so he did not skate on day one at Winsport. Don't think it's anything major. In fact, I think they were debating whether or not he would skate on Thursday or not. They decided, why be anything but cautious? It's day one of training camp. Don't need somebody who's nursing a lower body injury to step foot on the ice and make it any worse. So you can hold him out for a few more days. It's way easier to be super cautious right now than it would be even 2, 3, 4 weeks down the road. So those are kind of the notes from day one of camp. Anything that I threw out there that you don't think is notable, or more importantly, anything that I missed in that regard?
Well, with that, we've basically, and that's not to say that these don't change on Friday or on Saturday or on Sunday, but you get a real good glimpse of what Coach Ryan Huska and the staff are thinking about in terms of combinations to at least start camp. And that Sharangovich, Kadri, Kuzmenko one, to a degree, is not surprising at all, particularly when we heard Huska unveil Zeri, Backlund, Coleman, and Huberdeau, Pospisil, Mantha back in Penticton. But that line, to me, it kind of jumps off the page a little bit, and I'll be curious to see if it's something that finds chemistry and it's something that can be moved forward with, because, as you mentioned, that's a couple of high-skill forwards with your most productive player the past two seasons.
Text line is open. Would love to hear from you. all hour long, 960-960. If you're listening live, feel free to jump into the conversation. Feel free to react to what you hear from certain members of the Calgary Flames. And let's get right into it, because the first guy who came out to talk to us on Thursday morning was Nazem Kadri. He was part of the first group on the ice. So Nazem was the first guy that came to speak to us, the media, and I thought he set the tone. I thought that his, I'm trying to think of the words.
Demeanor?
Attitude, demeanor, defiance, whatever word you want to use, I thought it set the tone. And none of those things, I think it was... It's exactly the attitude you want to hear a player have coming into a training camp, especially with some of the uncertainty or question marks or skepticism that surrounds the Flames coming into the year. I thought Nazem Kadri set the tone for the day very nicely. Let's hear from Naz, the first to speak with us on Thursday, day one of training camp. We were underway from Winsport. We're underway on Flames Talk this hour.
Naz, you got those day one nerves, or it's pretty standard for you now?
I always think, you know, coming into training camp and starting the season, you always get that, you know, exciting, anxious feeling to kind of get going. So it's nice to finally step on the ice and, you know, actually play for something.
Yeah. How was the summer in general?
It was great. It was great. Had some time off, you know, prepared really well. So looking forward to kicking things off.
You do anything different, Nas, this year coming into this? I don't know how, you know, with the summer and the regimen, the training, anything changed for you at all at this point in your career? Or do you have to?
I got it down to a science, yeah. Les. I don't got to change nothing. Yeah. So, you know, fortunately, I've been doing this for a little bit, and I understand how, you know, I think, I guess as you get older, you start to, you know, monitor it a little bit closely. But, yeah, just do the same things, put in the work, and that preparation allows you to feel confident coming out here.
You know, there's a lot of bodies, obviously, and it's three different skates that are going to go. But when you take a look at what this group could be, what excites you about, you know, the roster that could be assembled here?
I mean, I think a lot of guys are you know, playing for spots, playing for ice time. I think that's there's a lot of competition around. I think that pushes each other. So, you know, that's always nice to see. Obviously, our leadership group has got to kind of set that standard, and it has been set. So we're looking forward to getting it going. Like I said, it's been a long summer, and we're excited to finally get playing.
You mentioned that leadership group, and last year there was some distractions hanging over the entire group coming into this season, or to that year. Now this year, you know, I don't know if there's distractions, Naz, but just the idea that, you know, you're a veteran, you and a couple others are veterans on a pretty young group that we all know at what phase we're at. So how are you approaching it this time around, knowing that you're a veteran guy who's got to lead even more, and there's going to be different types of distractions?
Right, and that's the plan. I mean, I think, you know, you appreciate that. You know, I was a young guy once, and, you know, people had to do that for me as well. So I, you know, I definitely am familiar with that. And, you know, like I said, we got great leaders, great guys, great players too. So I think we can obviously playing a bit of an underdog role this year, but, you know, we embrace it. We love the challenge, and we're ready.
I know you don't really worry about outside noise, but do you ever kind of wonder about your situation, given where the team is right now?
No, never. I just try to focus on, you know, coming in and putting the work in, and obviously playing my best. I hold myself to a high standard. You know, I want to be able to look myself in the mirror and accomplish something great every single day. So, you know, I'm also learning, constantly learning, and. You know, I want to become a better person, a better player, better pro, and that's what the days like these are for.
You answered pretty emphatically in April that you wanted to be playing and stay in Calgary. Obviously, those questions are going to get asked, but what makes you want to be here?
I love the city. Love the city. Love the organization. I mean, you know, I feel like it's super early to be asking these kind of questions, so I'm going to ask you guys to just pump the brakes a little bit. You know, let us go play. And, you know, we're going to try to rally around each other and you know, surprise some people.
How important is that underdog mentality? Like I think Backlund mentioned it. Like, do you feel like you can show people that this group maybe is a little bit more of a threat than they think?
Of course. Absolutely. I mean, I believe in our team. I believe in myself. And I believe in, you know, everybody that's kind of steering the ship here. So, you know, it's an exciting time, I think, to be a Calgary Flame. Obviously, you know, there's going to be some nights where, you know, we got to reset, but there also is going to be some great nights, and, you know, we're looking forward to the grind and the challenge.
You talk about there being a lot of competition, a younger group. Like, how does the buzz change when you've got that type of situation as you're getting camp started?
With the young guys, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, they bring energy. They bring youth. They should never be tired. So, you know, that's the great thing about being young. You know, you can do this day in and day out and, you know, hopefully establish yourself and earn yourself a spot in the NHL. So that's the goal for them.
You played with a couple guys last year who are getting their feet wet in this league. Like, everyone always says that second season in the NHL can be the toughest. What advice would you give for guys as they get ready for that second one?
I don't think it's something you should be too concerned about. Obviously, yeah, that's the sophomore slump is something that I think is overplayed and overrated. You know, I feel like if you just prepare yourself the right way as a young kid and practice hard and try to, you know, be noticed not only in games but in practices, I think that's where, you know, you'll start to see a trend moving upwards.
So that's Nazem Kadri, who kind of set the tone for day one of training camp. I felt Vicks. Like, he was very adamant about, hey, let's back off on trading me here, and let's back, like, I loved it. Got asked the question about, you know, why do you want to, essentially that was one of the themes of the day to the veterans. What about this team makes you want to be here? Why do you want to be a part of the solution? That was kind of one of the themes, and I'm not being critical of that being one of the themes, because that is just one of the natural themes. But I like the way Nazem Kadri approached it. Like, you know what? Like, pump the brakes. Let us start playing some games before you start trying to ship us out of town. And I don't think that's what anybody was trying to do, but I like the attitude. I like the defiance. And we heard similar things from other guys. I like the way that it started. I like the tone that a Stanley Cup champion like Nazem Kadri, one of the leaders on this team, maybe the best player on the team, depending on who you ask, one of the most important guys on the team, no question, setting the tone from day one. Love it. That was really good to hear.
Yeah, for me, Kadri was a little chippy at moments in a way that wasn't disrespectful, but forceful. And listen, he went through an entire season last year where everybody was getting traded at any given moment, particularly depending on restricted free agents, and it was nothing but noise from the time Tyler Toffoli got traded till the time Jacob Markstrom got traded. It was a full sort of season-to-season, 365-day noise factory around the Calgary Flames that managed to quiet after that Markstrom deal. And here he comes back on day one of training camp, and he starts to hear that noise a little bit. And he's like, hold on, let's pump the brakes here. In almost a way like, hey, guys, we haven't even played a single game. We don't know what this team even is yet, and we're already talking about what happens if the situation sours. Like, this is day one of camp. We're not even at day one of the regular season. Let's not worry about what happens, you know, 100 days from now. Let's just focus on the now, be where our feet are, and see where we can take this thing as a leadership.
And I've got no problem with that. And I think that's a really good outward message to have. I also think it's a really good message to have inside the room. And you know, we're going to hear from Rasmus Anderson in just a second. And Raz kind of said some very similar things. And they know what's being said. They know, and I've used this kind of analogy before. They know that when those preseason magazines come out and when the season preview shows on the two networks come out,
Sportsnet Power Rankings,
all of that, right? Like, they know that Sportsnet had the Flames 31 of 32 on their first power rankings, right? They know that there's going to be a lot of Flames 8th in the Pacific or 7th in the Pacific. They know that they're going to be counted out before the opening puck drops on October 9th, right? Like, they know what the outside thinks about them. They don't care. Or if they care, they're only using it as motivation. And I've got no problem with that. I've got no problem with them chirping us and talking about the media and all that type of stuff. There was a lot of you guys today, and there was a lot of, that's what you guys, that's
your narrative.
And yes, I love that. Like, throw that back in our faces and use that as motivation. Let's listen to Rasmus Anderson, because very similar type stuff as he got things going. He was on a pairing with Jake Bean on day one of camp. Here is Rasmus Anderson.
Rasmus, what's day one like here when you get an opportunity to get back and get in the room with everyone?
Yeah, it feels good to be back. You know, kind of been itching at it last few days, and exciting times ahead. You know, lot of new faces, get to know everyone, and excited that fitness testing is over. And yeah, you know, just get the timing back a little bit. You know, it's all different captain skate and real skates, and Sergio just working timing, new structure a little bit, and but yeah, exciting times.
You look at sort of your role in the leadership group. I mean, there's a couple guys who obviously started last year here and are not there. What is your sort of role in terms of just kind of leading these young guys?
I just do what I do, and you know, lead by example. You know, I think I'm a pretty vocal guy in the room, and you know, joke around, be serious when it's time to be serious, and lead by example. As I said, it's exciting times. A lot of new faces, a lot of young guys pushing for spots and more ice time, and it's gonna be fun to see a camp, you know, who takes that next step.
Is it that much more given it's a younger group than maybe in the past over here? Like is your role
given?
Like it's a younger team maybe than in the past. Like, so is your role as a leader? Like, are you trying to be even more vocal in the room than you already?
Are? I mean, I think I was pretty vocal from day 10, let's say. So, you know, I'll do me, and you know, if a young guy ever comes up to me, obviously I'm gonna help him, but you know, you try to make him feel as welcome as you can into the group right away, and you know, chirp him a little bit, keep him on them toes, and you know, it's when you get chirped the most, you get your most part of a team. And you know, I remember when I came in, and you know, the Geos and those kind of guys were all over me. So that makes you really feel welcome into the team. And, you know, keep it nice and loose. You know, we're obviously here because we're really good hockey players. But at the same time, you know, it's a close-knit team that goes the furthest.
Any of those chirps were met?
Sorry?
Any of those chirps then?
No. No, it's just locker room talk.
You mentioned competition off the top. I mean, how beneficial is that for a group to have a camp that is really competitive, guys fighting for jobs throughout all of it, and does that make you better come night one of the regular season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as you guys know, there's going to be spots opening, and whoever has a good camp, you know, it's for us older guys too. We gotta have a good camp, and you know, show the young guys that we're still here.
You looked at some of those young guys, obviously Zane, Hunter,
just I've seen the group we had today, and you know, you obviously see the skill that Zane possesses, and but it wasn't really one of those skates today where you can really see it. It was more of a skating skate, and so then it's pretty hard to see your skill then, and you're so focused on yourself kind of to just get through it and do it in a good way. And as I said, the timing is a little off, and so you're kind of just more focused on yourself.
When you've got Coleman talking at the golf tournament, said he was like, "We know expectations are low, but like expectations change when you get off to a hot start. You win 7 to 10 games. Is there any way to approach camp that way?"
I mean, it's from the outside noise, right? It's you guys have low expectations on us. We know what we have in the room, and we believe we have a really good team, and that's the way we believe. And no offense, but we couldn't care less what you guys write.
When you get
that wasn't a little offensive.
I like what you write, Wes, though. Oh, so you know.
There it is.
Yeah.
When you've got some new faces on the back, what goes into kind of gelling quickly and getting where you want to be quickly?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously Ball wasn't on the ice today, and but you know, whoever you're playing with, you know, you want to create that bond right away and talk as much as possible, and doesn't really matter who you play with. You still got to play. You got to play good, and you know, you got to help each other out as partners. If you know, you got to back each other up and all that kind of stuff. And you know, it falls quite a bit on me too. I take a lot of pride in that. And yeah, so just get off to a good start and don't look back.
That is Rasmus Andersson, as he spoke with us on Thursday. Day one of training camp in the books from Winsport as we continue along this hour on Flamestock. Steinberg Vickers along with you here in our Groundworks downtown studio. Again, I like the attitude. I like the, like, use the
spiciness.
Outside noise. Use all of it. Whether it's true or not, and I think it is generally true, there's not a lot of people with high expectations for the Flames this year, but like, I use that and keep throwing it back in our faces. I don't care. Like, and I like how he said no offense. I don't think anybody there did take offense.
Well,
to
except
it.
For our Flames Talk family member Wes Gilbertson there.
He got placated very quickly, though.
Yes, he did.
But like, we don't take offense. Like, use that stuff. I'm all for a pro sports team using that type of stuff as motivation to start the year. And I have no idea if it's going to work. I have no idea if just being motivated and wanting to prove media members and the league wrong, I have no idea if that's going to be a successful endeavor or not, but it can't hurt to have a little added motivation. So I like your word, feistiness, because there was a little bit of that. And there should be, because there's been a lot of talk about how bad the Flames might be this year and how they are probably closer to a first overall pick than a playoff spot and all that type of stuff. Well, obviously we have to see how it plays out, but you know, in 2024, I don't care how much you tell us that you don't follow social media or you don't read the papers or you don't listen or watch whatever. They know what's being said,
yep.
And you could tell right there from Raz that they know what's being said, and they don't believe it inside that room. They believe they've got a better group than anybody gives them credit for, and I think that's a real nice rallying point to use as you go through the start of the season.
If it gives you the chip on the shoulder that you need to get off to a good start, why not use it? Why not post all the different publications that'll have the Flames somewhere between 31 and 25 or so, and use that as a little bit of a rallying fuel. To your point, I'm not going to get offended if they're upset with what the media expects from them. At the end of the day, the media aren't playing the games. It's the players that are playing the games. So whatever you've got to do from an individual standpoint and from a team standpoint to get the ship going the proper way right from the jump, right from day one, do it.
The other thing that I thought was interesting in both Nazem and Rasmus's comments there is the idea of, hey, there's a lot of young players here. There's a lot of youth here. And both guys say, yeah, it kind of just gives you a little bit more of a kick in the pants. And they've got to prove that, hey, like, okay, we're still here. And I like the way that Rasmus put it, like, don't forget about us. Like, you're young, and there's a lot of people that are excited for what player A or player B might be, but we're still here too. And I think that's a neat little subplot to the whole thing too.
Well, at the end of the day, the Calgary Flames are going to go as far as what we've heard them referred to as the big six or the six leaders on the team. They're important figures, not only from the leadership standpoint, but actually delivering on the ice, the performances that they've been able to deliver over the course of their careers, where year in, year out, they can typically be set and forget players. They've got to not only do historically what they've done before, but also maybe even take that up just a little bit of a level to, one, show the young guys that, yeah, you can always raise your level, but two, how to compete day in, day out in the NHL.
Some text, 960-960 from Ray in Calgary. I'm not a member of Team Tank, but if the year's going to be as predicted as a 30-31 place team, be nice to get a top five pick to speed up the turnaround and compete sooner rather than later. This text comes in and says, except they don't get their first round pick in this upcoming draft, don't tank this year. The important caveat there is that if they have a top 10 pick in the 2025 draft, they retain it. There were so many conditions on the Florida picks, like the deal with Tkachuk that brought Huberdeau and Uyghur in, and the pick that was brought back. There were a ton of conditions on that pick, and thus when that pick was included in the Sean Monahan trade a few months later, there were also those conditions and even more conditions added on. But to simplify it, essentially, if the Flames have a top 10 pick, they keep that pick and don't transfer it to Montreal, and instead Florida's pick transfers. Panthers are the defending Stanley Cup champions. Pretty decent chance the Panthers are selecting later in the first round than the Flames are in 2025. However, if the Flames finish outside of the top 10 in terms of their draft position, then their pick will transfer to Montreal. So if they're 11 and Florida is 29, well, 11 transfers and the Flames don't pick to 29. So there is that to factor into the conversation when it comes to tanking or how they finish. And then this one from Mikey says, Nazem showing some good leadership. And I agree. That was some solid leadership from Nazem Kadri, who is one of the unquestioned leaders inside that locker room.
Oh, there's no doubting that whatsoever. And again, I like the tone from both Kadri and Anderson. even if they, and I won't call them a shot, but if they, they poke back at the media a little bit, and I'm all for that. And I think it makes, one, for great audio, but two, it really sets the tone for anybody listening around the Flames, whether you're a player or a member of the coaching staff or the PR team or whoever. That's what you want out of your players. They're almost already starting the us against the world mentality.
Good.
Which is what this group absolutely needs. We saw the 2014-15 Flames have a whole lot of that season. Worked out for them. I'm not sitting here projecting that the 24-25 Flames are going to go the exact same route, but it's the mentality this group has to have, in my opinion.
Jeremy from Calgary says, in my opinion, if the core six play to their capabilities or beyond, especially if Huberto turns his game around, why can the Flames not be a playoff team? 960-960 text line is open on this Thursday. Steinberg Vickers along with you. This hour of Flames Talk is underway. We're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, and you can get Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon. Go hit subscribe. Follow along wherever you get your podcasts.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's Hockey Station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Day one of training camp is what we're dissecting here this hour on Flames Talk. Welcome back on a Thursday. Steinberg Vickers along with you. So this hour we've heard from Nazem Kadri and we've heard from Rasmus Anderson on day one of camp. Both kind of similar themes. Kind of like, hey, we're here to prove people wrong. It's a young group. That's exciting. And those were kind of the two main takeaways or the two main themes of what we heard from Nazem Kadri and Rasmus Anderson. Let's just continue hearing from some different members of the team. That's what you want to hear on day one of camp. You want to just hear what's being said. Everybody's back. The season is getting underway. The spotlight on Jonathan Huberto is going to be large again. When you're the highest paid player on the team, when you're the owner of the largest contract in team history, you're always going to have some semblance of a spotlight on you. Well, let's hear from Jonathan. He's on a line that has two brand new line mates for him. Martin Pospisil at center ice, which he has never played at the NHL level, and newcomer Anthony Mantha on the right-hand side. So Pospisil between Huberto and Mantha, that's a brand new line for a player who is looking to get back closer to being the point-per-game player he was prior to joining the Calgary Flames. Let's hear from Jonathan Huberto. He spoke Thursday at Winsport.
What's the emotion like on day number one? You still got some nerves in there? Or is it
A little bit, driving to the rink. You always get, I feel the nerve on day one. But it's always good to be back. I mean, I think it was a good, you know, first day for us. It was a hard practice. And I think, you know, I thought our group did a really good job out there.
They're always talking about establishing that compete early on. Is that kind of the sense you get from the staff, that just, you know, to start out on the right foot?
Yeah, we want to be, you know, a hard-working team all year long. So tough to play against. And it's got to start, you know, day one in training camp. And, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to build that identity, be a hard team to play against. And you got to do it, you know, throughout the camp, and that's what we're doing right now.
Jonathan, last year there was a lot of distractions with a lot of pending free agents. Does it feel a little different this time around for you as players?
Yeah, I think we know what our groove's going to look like, you know, from day one, and we like it. I think it's a, you know, challenge for us. It's, you know, we've got a lot of young guys, a lot of great leaders, and I think, you know, we're looking forward to that. I think, you know, like I said, I think around the league or around the media people, they have us, you know, low expectation. But I think for us, we want to make the playoffs, and that's going to be our main goal this year. And I think, you know, we're going to do it as a team all together. And I think if everybody chips in, we're going to be a good team.
Those lowered expectations from the outside probably suit you guys just fine. That's okay. You guys can, you know, either prove guys wrong or prove people wrong or kind of hover under the radar. Is that fair?
Yeah, for sure. I think right from the get-go, we want to have a better start. You know, last year we kind of got behind the eight ball, and that kind of hurt us. So this year is going to be important to have a good start. And I think, you know, see, it's going to be a competitive camp. I think, you know, a lot of young guys that wants to make this team and, you know, want to take some veteran spot too. So I think it's going to be competitive camp. That's what we want. That's what we need. And to be, you know, a really good team throughout the year.
It's day one, but Martin and Anthony as line mates, like what are your early impressions of playing with those two?
I mean, yeah, I think it's starting like that. But, I mean, Pospi is, you know, is a guy that can drive the middle and, you know, he's the guy that goes into the battle really hard. I think, you know, last year he was playing really well, plays hard. And so I like that. And Manta, I mean, first of all, he's French. You know, it's good news. but no, he's a guy that shoots the puck. You know, he has a tremendous shot. You know, good, great IQ. So I think we can get. You know, it could be a really good line. I think we can start building some chemistry right away.
Jonathan, how important is just all the veterans being like, we want to stay here, we want to see this through. Like, how important is that message from the veterans? Like, that all you veterans seem to be on the same page right now.
Yeah, we're all excited. You know, we want to be here. I mean, I didn't sign, you know, a long-term deal not to be here. I think I want to be here. I want to be a Calgary Flames, and we're excited for this challenge. I think that's what we want to embrace that. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's doing it. You know, as a leader, we're going to stick together and get the young guys going, and, you know, it should be a fun year.
Have you considered how many scrums you might need to be in as your hospital's line mate?
I was messing around today. I was like, we might have to jump in there a couple of times for Plasky, but... No, I think he's learned, you know. I think he's got, you know, he likes to get around, likes to get some scrums. So I think, you know, there's certain time you can't do that all the time. And I think, you know, he's a guy that's going to mature as well. And I think, you know, but he plays the game hard, and that's what you want. And, you know, that's the type of player he is. And, you know, we're just going to be out there with him and try to get in that scrum. So,
I know this team has been looking to add some speed at center for a while, like whether it's him or someone else. How much can that speed be an asset out of a center ice man?
It's great. I mean, it's always nice to have a centerman that creates a lot of speed, so I think he can push the defenseman, you know, down when you get into the zone on the rush. So I like playing with a centerman that's fast, so I think that can be a great asset for the line. And I think Pospi can do that. Obviously, you know, he hasn't played, you know, center in the NHL, so it's going to be an adjustment for him. But I think, you know, I told him just it's going to take some time, and that's why training camp is there for.
Jonathan, your relationship with Anthony Mantha, it sounds like it started because you guys wanted to invest in a golf course. Can you just kind of talk about that and how it's kind of grown from there?
Yeah, I mean, I knew him before that. It kind of, you know, obviously we got closer from that, but it's a guy that I skated in the summer with. And I know he's always been a guy that, you know, we got along with. So I think I'm excited to get that relationship, you know, stronger and stronger. And having a chance to play with him, it's cool.
His game is a little bit better than yours when it comes to the golf course.
He sure is. I mean, this guy can hit the ball far. I mean, he's got a little bit more weight than me, so it's a little normal.
Jonathan, this is your third time talking to us at one of these training camps in Calgary. Like, what's the biggest way your mindset's maybe shifted over the past couple of years, like compared to maybe when you first got to Calgary and your first training camp?
I mean, just more and more comfortable, and I think, you know, I mean, I love it here. It's great. It's a great place to play. I think, you know, the fans are are committed, and I think it's on us to, you know, to bring some nice hockey in front of them. And I think, you know, just having fun. I think that's the main goal we need to have. And, you know, by working the hardest that we can, but have fun doing it and, you know, make some surprises and make the playoff.
How would you describe Ryan Longberg?
This guy is just a ball of energy. I think that's what we need. I mean, in our group, it's great. And, you know, from just today, he was great. You know, out there, I mean, I'm breathing heavy, and I just look around, and he's just, like, talking, you know, having fun. I'm like, here we go. This guy's in tremendous shape, and it's good to see. I mean, you know, won the cup last year, and, you know, he's going to be a good leader for us. But he's just, like, the way he handles himself on the ice, he's just always positive. And, you know, that's always good to have a guy like that.
There you go. That is Jonathan Huberdeau, who spoke Thursday morning after his on-ice session on a line with Anthony Mantha and Martin Pospisil down the middle. I do wonder, Vix, Steinberg and Vickers along with you, Flames talk underway this hour. We're just running through day one of training camp and hearing from some different members of the Flames. I really wonder if the spotlight is a little less intense on Jonathan this year for a couple of different reasons. Number one, because the expectations on the outside are a little bit less on the Flames because there's nowhere near as much of a magnifying glass on this team as there was the last 2 years. I mean, 2 years ago, Johnny, rest in peace, had left, and Matthew had been traded, right? So now you've got this Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, Nazem Kadri are all here. What is it going to look like? And then last year, it was all the talk about what's going to happen with Noah Hanifin, what's going to happen with Chris Tanev, what's going to happen with Elias Lindholm, so on and so forth, plus new head coach, new general manager. And so the spotlight on the Flames league-wide, the amount of buzz surrounding the Flames league-wide was large. This year, that's not the case. They're not a team that's being talked about around the league in a large way. The expectations for what they're supposed to do on the outside are low. And the other factor is that Jonathan has had two seasons where he's been under 60 points. He's had two very underwhelming campaigns at his $10.5 million hit. I guess one at $10.5 million and the other one was on the last year of his old deal. But my point is, I wonder if the spotlight is a little less intense on him this year. And if that is the case, I wonder how that affects his play on the ice, if at all.
I do think from the league-wide perspective, where the Flames are now versus where they were last year or the year before plays a little bit into it. But I think the majority of it, at least from my perspective, comes from the fact that, yeah, his first season with the Flames was 55 points after putting up 115 with the Florida Panthers the year prior, the largest year-over-year drop in NHL history from a player that remained relatively healthy. That's shocking. And so last year at this time when he comes in, it's, how is Jonathan Huberdeau going to rebound or reboot from what was statistically one of his worst seasons since his rookie year, if on a points per game basis worse? And then he goes out and he actually produces at a little bit lower clip and an absolute disastrous clip up until December 31st when he scored his first point in December and then managed to find some traction.
I've totally forgot about that narrative of almost went pointless
for an entire
December.
Month, yeah, a 31-day month. So I think the fact that he's coming off back-to-back seasons where he hasn't been productive helps lessen the narrative of, oh, is Jonathan Huberdeau going to rebound? And I think from an individual standpoint, it lowers the expectations on him, which might benefit him to the point of being able to play a little bit looser, play a little bit freer. Again, you don't have the individual expectation. You don't have the team expectation. So maybe you can go out and have a little bit more fun. And we've talked about how the last 2 years haven't gone oh so well. And Huberdeau told us at the golf tournament that he switched up his training regimen this past off season to try something different, maybe a focus on speed a little bit more, add a different element to his game, just to try something different to get out of this rut or this pattern that he's been in his 2 years in Calgary. And suddenly you throw in a new line mate in Martin Pospisil, another new line mate in Anthony Mantha. Maybe that's something that can help kickstart some things as well. And I don't think we're sitting here talking about, oh, why is nobody talking about Jonathan Huberdeau and the fact that he's two years removed from 115 points? What's he going to get back to?
Yeah.
I think it's more of, what can Jonathan Huberdeau be as a member of the Calgary Flames? And that's less sexy or a less exciting narrative, perhaps.
And also kind of less distracting. It's less salacious. It's all of that type of stuff. And so because of that, I really do wonder what that means for the type of season Jonathan might have. And Craig Conroy said at the end of last season, he wants to go out and sign somebody, bring somebody in to help Huberdeau. Well, mission accomplished in the attempt as they went out and got Anthony Mantha. Now we have to see how it works in reality and what the execution is like. But if Mantha and Huberdeau work well together and all of a sudden there's a nice chemistry there, and whether it's Pospisil and Calgary's idea of, you know, having Pospisil drive the middle, play with speed, replicate the chemistry he had with Sam Bennett a couple of years ago, and that works, well, all of a sudden that's a big time positive. And so, you know, regardless of how you feel the Flames need to do this season, or how you feel the Flames should rebuild, or how you see Jonathan Huberdeau's long-term place on this team, in my eyes, it's only a positive if Jonathan has his best season as a member of the Flames this year. Whether you want him here long-term, whether you think it's better for him to be dealt, whether you think the Flames should finish 32nd, or you think the Flames should fight for a playoff spot, at no point does Jonathan having a good season, at no point in my eyes do I think that's a bad thing, because it just, it helps with your future outlook, or it helps with trade value, or whatever you want to look at, I think it's important that it happens.
It's basically just a net benefit to the individual and the team if he comes out and plays more like he has historically to that point per game pace. For the reasons you mentioned, it either helps the team be more competitive. If you're of the thought that the Calgary Flames shouldn't be competitive, well, then it at the end of the day, and I'm not saying that all of a sudden he'll become a tradable asset, but it helps increase the odds of that happening, because as it stands right now at a $10.5 million cap hit till 2030-31, a player that produces 50 points a season is not a movable asset. So if Jonathan Huberdeau can rekindle some of that magic he had, and again, it doesn't need to be a 115-point season. He doesn't need to hit triple digits on the score sheet. But if he can get back to being more of the player that he's been throughout the 10 years prior he was in the NHL, that helps Huberdeau, that helps the Flames, and it helps the players that he's playing with, which could at some point include some of the kids that the Flames are trying to bring along as well.
Let's wrap it up by hearing from the captain. Michael Backlund spoke with us after his first day on the ice at training camp. Backlund centering a line with Blake Coleman on the right and Connor Zeri on the left, as head coach Ryan Huska suggested to us over the weekend. Michael Backlund, his thoughts on expectations, the season, and a whole lot more. Here's the captain.
Michael, a lot of training camps, day one's under your belt here. What is different at this stage in your career about camp this time around? If anything.
No, it's always exciting. First day, you know, excited to be back and see everyone. You know, you've seen guys last few weeks here coming in the city, but it's great to be together, all the coach and everything, and get back to work. So, you know, you're always a little, always have that little extra nervous first day, but obviously the more you do, more years you've done it, the less, but it's always exciting first day.
As this thing goes on, and I don't know what you as a captain address the entire group or if you get a chance to, but what is your message to young guys and to veterans and, you know, to everybody to kind of bring this thing together in what could be a very up and down, interesting year?
Doesn't have to be up and down, does it?
Not up to me, but yeah. Giving you an help, Max.
You should, still, but yeah. No, you know, we... Yeah, my message is going to be, you know, we're here to make the playoffs, and we want to show people and prove people wrong. I really like our team, and I think we have a lot of young guys that want to show the league that they can be a good player in this league and prove themselves. And us veterans, you know, we want to drive this team, and we want to get back to playoffs after missing 2 years. And so, yeah, my message is going to be that we're in it together. You know, we're going to push out every day to become better, but you know, our goal here is to win. Nothing else matters.
You mentioned the young guys, and as the leadership group, what can you do as a leadership group to kind of insulate those young guys to not only, you know, understand the NHL day to day, maybe even take a step up, young guys like Connor Zeri, even more Coronado, who need to, what is the importance of your leadership group to insulate them?
Yeah, I think it's important that we, you know, first of all, we show on the ice how we want to play, and every day come in and work hard and show the right way. And then it's important, you know, that we pull them aside and talk to them and help them and, you know, make them feel good about themselves and in any different ways. And, yeah, just help them throughout camp and beginning of the season.
You've been a part of teams before that have proven kind of the outside experts wrong. What goes into that? Like, how have you seen that happen before?
Yeah, it's you know, that especially that 14-15 year, we get off the great start, but a really tough road trip. But you know, we went in head first, and we're like, we're gonna play some really good hockey, make it really hard on teams, and that's our mindset this year again. And yeah, that year we, you know, just had that good start, and then it just kind of kept rolling, and we just kept pushing each other and on, you know, on practice and games, and we never gave up. And that's the mentality we gotta have this year again. You know, it was a fun year, you know, one of the years that sticks out for sure during my time here. And yeah, that's it's always fun to prove people wrong and yeah, to be the underdog a little bit. And And it's nice, you know, last couple of years we come in some high expectation of this group, especially, you know, 2 years ago, and a lot of big changes, but still high expectations, and you know, things didn't go the way we wanted. So last year was a lot of question marks on the team, but still high expectations. So it's this, nice this year, a little change. Come in here, no one really expect much, and go out and just enjoy playing in the NHL.
What was it like for you the last 2 years in particular, processing some of those question marks and saying goodbye to some of those teammates as changes have come through the organization, especially you in the leadership position that you're in?
Yeah, no, it's been hard seeing, you know, close teammates leave, of course, close friends, but it's part of the business. I've seen a lot of guys leave, and unfortunately, but you got to move on. And, you know, I think now, you know, the main big core group over the year has been a little bigger now. I think it's, you know, a little more like, you know, six of us that's been here for the next last few years and are the oldest guys, and all the leaders on the caps on the team. You know, we got to drive this team, and now we have a chance to be us six, do something special. You know, if we pull this team in the right direction, you know, it's going to be a special year, and we're going to remember for that. So I think it's important.
We've heard a few veterans over the last few days, in particular Coleman and Uyghur, express how much they want to stay with this team, even as they're going through what they're going through. But, of course, they do say they want to make the playoffs. How much are you going to be leading on that commitment from some of those other leadership guys around you who still want to stick through this team as they're going through what they're going through?
Yeah, of course. They're a big part of the group, and yeah, I need them to be there for me and for the team, and I know they are, and yeah, they're key guys for our group. So, like I said, you know, the six of us, the captains, we need to really push the group in the right direction. If this team's gonna have any success, it's us. Starts with us, and we gotta show the right way and all year do the right things and push the team. And yeah, those guys are so important to me. And I really, you know, can stress enough how much, you know, I need them right by my side. And I know they all want to be here, and they're really motivated to get back to playoffs.
What makes you want to stick this through, Michael, and kind of see this to the end, where the team is kind of competing more consistently?
Sorry, it was first.
Like, what makes you want to stick out this process in Calgary and kind of see this through where, you know, the young guys ascend and everything like that? What's your motivation for that?
No, I think it's good for our organization. You know, we need to regroup a little bit and become younger. You know, 2 years ago, we were one of the oldest teams, I think, in the league, and it was time to get in some young guys, and we did that last year, and it's, you know, this year again, made some good picks, and I think it's important we get some youth in the lineup. Definitely helped us last year, and but at the same time, we're all of us are here to win, and we want to go through that and at the same time still be a competitive team that pushes for a playoff spot.
And there's talk about like a generational gap and like the way that you were probably maybe led when you were in their shoes is a little bit different than now. Like, do you find that young players, you know, to lead them, it's maybe a little bit different than when you were in their shoes a few years ago? Or
yeah, I mean, everything evolves and changes in the world, and yeah, it's definitely a little different now than when I came into the league. And I'm trying to keep some of that, but also I gotta adjust, just like coaches over the years have adjusted. You can tell I've seen a lot of different coaches, and but yeah, you know, at the same time we're all here to win, and I'm trying to push them in what I think is the right way, and to be better players and persons.
Like, when you go all the way back to Kelowna with Tyson Barry, what can he bring to this camp? What can he bring to this group?
Yeah, I know. Ty's, first of all, great teammate, great person. Love playing with him in Kelowna, so we're really excited to see him again, to have him on my team. And yeah, he's a great hockey player. He's such a smart defenseman. Very, you know, really skilled offensively, but also very, you know, reliable defensively. So, you know, I hope he has a really good camp and earns a spot here. I think it definitely can help our team.
That is Captain Michael Backlund, the last guy we'll hear from this hour on Flames Talk as we wrap up day one of training camp from Winsport. And hey, one of the big themes that we've talked about this hour from the veterans, we've heard from Huberdeau, Anderson, and Kadri, and now Michael Backlund, proving people wrong or being better than those on the outside might expect. That was definitely one of the themes of day one at Winsport.
One of my favorite quotes when he was asked about, you know, how do you prepare for an up and down season, and he kind of barked back a little, it doesn't have to be, does
yep.
it?
Yep.
And that's exactly what you want out of your captain, just like you wanted it out of Rasmus Anderson, just like you wanted it out of Nazem Kadri. That core six, that veteran leadership group, is going to be so key in terms of not only how they play on the ice, but the messaging and the relaying of the message from the coaching staff to maybe some of the younger players or the not so veteran players. And to me, that's a textbook example of your captain doing that.
A few texts, 960, 960 to wrap up the hour. Our boy Dylan and Revelstoke. I love how all the vets are talking back to you all. I hope that continues all year. Keep the comedy going. Me too. This says, boys, not to be a pessimist, but there's no way any GM will trade for Mr. $10.5 million unless he has at least two consecutive years of over 100 points, and that's an impossibility, judging by what we've seen thus far from Huberdeau. However, feel free to prove everyone wrong. I just hold off until 25-26, as we need to pick on in the top 10 so as not to do any favors to the Montreal Canadiens. As for the only thing I'll say is that Pierre-Luc Dubois got traded this offseason. Pierre-Luc Dubois has been traded in consecutive offseasons. He wore out his welcome in Winnipeg and got traded to LA, was an absolute unmitigated disaster. I think to a far larger extent than Huberdeau has been here in Calgary, and they still were able to trade him without retaining a single bit of salary. So that would be my only counter to that point, is that there are ways to move players out. I'm not suggesting that they need to go down that road. I just wanted to make that counterpoint. This reads, I'm fully prepared for Huberdeau to come back with a monster year. The Flames still missing the playoffs and outside the top 10 for the draft, causing the Flames to lose their first. It would be a very Flamesy thing to happen. And finally, do we have a list of who will be wearing letters this season? Would be a crime if Uyghur didn't have an A on his sweater. We'll find out the official leadership group just before the start of the regular season is usually when they announce that. We know Michael Backlund's a captain, and I would assume that four of the other five of that six are wearing letters, if not all five of them, depending on the way they want to go about it. But I would assume at the very least four of Kadri, Uyghur, Coleman, Anderson, and who's the sixth vet? And Huberdeau. I would assume that four of those five guys are wearing letters.
Typically you'll see two on the road, two at home, with Michael Backlund keeping the C, obviously, the whole time.
Well, there you go. That's a pretty good synopsis of day one of training camp. Day two on Friday at Winsport. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up this hour on Flames Talk. And this hour, we've been coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.